famous Phil Henry show, I think. Phil, are you back for the full week? What are you looking at?
Yes, I'm back for the full week. I already said that.
Before the show went on, Phil was listening to the promo from the...
Tell everybody about it.
Yes, I am. From Podcast One, and he did a sort of a Faye limp wrist thing.
Anything else?
I'm just informing everyone what's going on inside your brain.
Let's get into this thing, okay? Quit yanking it and paddling it. And pony paddle and, you know, jump the squirrel.
What does jump the squirrel mean?
Come on, you don't know what that means. Come on, General, will you?
I do not know. What is jump the squirrel?
Doesn't mean anything. I made it up.
You know something? I think you're lying. I'm going to look it up.
Margaret, we are up. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. We don't have time to be looking up stuff like jump the squirrel.
Well, go look it up, Mr. Henry.
No, because the General just said he made it up.
I made it up.
Well, what does it mean? You made it up. Why?
Because we're sitting here yanking the dummy. All right?
Yeah, that's something to do with yank a dummy.
Yank a dummy. So you're talking about, this is what Norton... Oh, now I get it.
No, what are you talking about?
Chris Norton is on today, right, Phil?
Chris Norton is going to be on today to talk about masturbation. I don't know who... Why did you allow that, bud?
Because it's very technical, and it's about free speech.
See, that's what I thought. And so the General is there with Jump the Monkey.
I didn't say jump. I said something like jump a... I don't even know what I said.
Yeah, I said jump a squirrel.
Jump a squirrel.
We're not going to talk about it anymore. It doesn't mean anything, Margaret. The General was telling us to quit paddling it because he thinks that we were just wasting time.
No, I didn't think we were wasting time.
But I got to agree with that. You know, going back and forth.
I was making a point about Phil this past week. Boy, what a bunch of... You guys are real backstabbers, you know that?
Well, why'd you say that?
Because you were all on board before we went on the air. Now we hit the air, and you desert like rats from a sinking ship. That's what happened.
Well, I think that the guys probably thought... Valor being the...
Excuse me, were you there in the meeting?
What meeting?
No, we sat around, we said, well, what Mark was going to say.
Yeah, and we all agreed that she was going to talk about what a putz you were, until finally we all said, no, this isn't going to work, and so we just bailed on her.
Thank you very much for that.
What a putz I was for what, doing a limp wrist thing?
Well, you did.
Yeah, you did right in the camera, mister, and you go, ooh, and nobody could see it.
I was making fun of something. I was just, never mind. Welcome to the show, the Phil Henry Show.
That sounds good. Welcome to the show, the Phil Henry Show. What about a jingle? What are you looking at?
What is it with you all of a sudden?
Phil, I'm anxious to get back into to fire into this thing and to do it and to get the hell out. All right?
Yeah, just let's do it and leave.
Exactly what he said.
Let's do it and leave. All right. So what we'll do is we'll do it and then we'll leave. It's the Phil Henry Show here. It's last week was a badass week in terms of work and... And then Maria, this was her last week at the house. She's now back at her house. And I'd like to thank you, Maria, for forcing me to clean my house up.
Yes.
We heard you talking about that.
And also getting food in the refrigerator. But anyway, that was her final week. She's now off of the walker. She's off of the...
But the crutches.
Yeah, she's off the crutches. She's walking, man. She's not walking 100% like she did because she's still kind of stiff.
Now, is she still getting the physical therapy?
Yeah. This week, I think, is the last week. And she gets some occupational therapy.
Now what is the difference?
Occupational therapy, I think, is doing with your hands. And physical is with the legs, the hips. But anyway, so that's cool. That's done. That's a beautiful thing. And then last week, as I mentioned, we had a lot of work. You know, like, what's the cat's name? G-Eazy says, got a lot of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, don't try to hip-hop on it.
Who is G-Eazy? Is he one of those hip-hops that you're talking about there?
Yes, he is. He's from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, I quoted him anyway, so we had a lot of work, and then we've got another coming up. We got another table read this week. So we're back into the full swing of F is for Family. It's a lot of fun, very exciting. What a great grump. What a great group of people.
Yeah, well, you're the great grump.
Yeah, probably. And Mo Collins, like I said, Mo Collins got her nomination for the Emmy. Now, Margaret, maybe you know something about this.
What exactly is Mo Collins? She's nominated in voiceover.
Yeah, she's nominated in voiceover for her variety of voices on If It's for Family. Now, she was saying to me, well, so what am I supposed to do in terms of, you know, the limousine and all stuff like that?
Well, I don't think, you see, at the level that I'm used to it, which is, of course, the Academy Awards... And yes, some of the Emmys, it shows up. You know, everyone knows you've been nominated. You go out, you rent an expensive gown, and you sit and you wait, and there's the limousine. What are you asking me?
What is that supposed to mean?
What are you asking me?
What do you do when you get a nomination for an Emmy or an Oscar, and you sit there on your ass, and you know?
You sit, you go out, and you shop for the expensive dress.
No, but what if you can't afford it?
What do you mean, what if you can't afford it? Are you clowns listening to yourselves? It's the Academy Awards.
Well, this technically is the Emmy. It's the Television Arts and Sciences Academy of the Arts and Sciences, you know.
Yes, that's exactly right, Bud. The Academy of the Arts...
Bud, never mind. So you're saying she goes out and buys an expensive dress?
You go out and rent the expensive dress. You also go out and rent the expensive jewelry. And you rent the expensive shoes. And you just...
You just rent it.
You rent... What are you laughing at?
So she's renting all that stuff, and then...
And then you sit in your living room and fold your hands across your lap, and you wait for the limousine. You guys seem a little confused.
Margaret, you're the one... I may be confused. You're living in weird land, okay? Because you're not explaining...
What do you mean I live in weird land?
Well, you're not explaining how... What do you mean she just sits there?
Margaret, what are you talking about? Does she call up a limousine? Do they call up the limousine?
I would think that the limousine shows up, as far as I know, and I do know quite a bit about it. I go to the Academy Awards every year, and there's just a limousine there.
What is it? The limousine service knows that you got...
You ought to see Phil, ladies and gentlemen. He went like this. Love. You looked almost as if someone had punched your face in a few times, like someone had read my mind and went ahead and did my work for me. You understand?
Margaret, you know, you can say all the cute things you want to say, but I'm telling you, you're not explaining this. If a guy gets a nomination, it was a very simple question.
The young lady wants to know what?
Well, what do you do? I mean, do you just wait around for maybe the show? I told her, I think the show, you know?
Yeah, that's probably what the Efforts for Family will do it.
Well, what do you mean Efforts for Family will do it?
The cats that she works for, the company, the show that we work for, wouldn't they? Oh, wow. Because I know everybody's proud of her. Okay?
Well, I would hope so, Phil.
Everybody is. Bill is. The whole producing staff. Everybody on the show. And I said to her, I said, I think the show is probably going to do all of that. She said, you mean the guys with these creeps? She didn't say that. I'm kidding.
Well, you're really going to get her in trouble.
Phil, knock it off.
I'm kidding. She never said that. She said... what she said. And so I said, yeah, I think probably the show, and I think she went just to actor. She just went around the room and asked, hey, what about the limousine? No, she didn't say that either.
You know something, Phil? You're going to make her sound like a real ass, an ass on the wing, and that's not what this... Mo Collins is a wonderful young lady.
She's a very funny lady.
Oh, yeah. I'm fooling around. So, no, I think that's what's going to happen, and you're saying that she just waits.
Phil, I'm telling you that when it comes to limousines, when you are at that level... You don't ask, you just go and get the dress and walk toward the door. And as you reach for the knob, the limousine should pull up. In fact, I have money that says it will. It just happens that way. Please don't ask me any more questions.
Yeah, it doesn't make it...
Please don't ask me any more questions.
All right, then it's a very spiritual, spooky... Woo!
Did I say spooky?
Well, it'd be spooky to me. If I'm sitting there on my ass, and I walk to the door, and as I extend my hand to the knob, which...
Pardon the expression?
Yes. As I extend my hand to the knob, and then the knob extends...
You know something?
Sit down, Margaret.
I won't sit still for this.
But you know what I'm saying.
Was that General, or was that General you, or was that you?
It was me doing a Bud and Dickman impression.
Let me just take over here. So the general just walks to the door.
Walks to the door, extends his hand to the knob, to the doorknob.
I don't know.
Well, who's talking to you? And then opens it and the limousine pulls up. That's my understanding.
Great. Well, then we will wait to do that. If you heard that, just, you know, just walk to the door, extend your hand to the knob, the doorknob.
Pardon the expression.
And then open the door and the limousine will pull up. And will the guy be smiling?
Will who be smiling?
The driver.
Yes, the driver will be smiling. Generally, it's a very white smile, and he'll be wearing
And he'll be wearing sunglasses.
Of course he will.
All right. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know something? You're treating me as if I'm a mental deficient, like I'm someone that's being led into the day room, and you're going to move my wheelchair into the sun. Is that it?
No, Margaret, I just don't understand how the world works in your eyes. However, I will say that it does work and probably works very, very well.
Yay!
All right. Let's go to Bob Bacon now, and here is traffic.
Phil Hendry Show traffic.
Yeah. Bob, what's it look like?
Phil, welcome back on the ball jam with us. I bowed out to the ball jam. And out there on the 15 freeway, it's going to be a ramp down. They're going to ramp it up by 5 and then drop it out downtown. And you'll probably catch until about 3 o'clock this afternoon, shape. And you'll be ashamed of yourself as you do, as you put your clothes back on and think, what have I done in traffic? My God, oh my God, what have I done? And I'm bound out of the 405. I'm by Brad Brent is there. And you may remember him. He's the guy that delivers the garbage. And they put him in the pig line. That's it. What's going on with Skyboy?
I'm on my
phone.
The
guy that's
down
the
Glad Dam. And the Glad Dam is slowed down. He's going down now. You went down, so you're gonna find out too. All right, let's see. I'll call 5 or 16. Come down the Boundary Highway. Let's drive to Lambton. Come over to Joplin, then Lambton. Thank you, ma'am. Yep, then two, and left me too. Here goes the sky, baby. No, no, no. I don't like it. That's what the bubble. And I see what's up. I thought that.
Film at 11.
Mercury Jones presents the brand spanking new 2017 Glad. This is the first flying car that you have been waiting for. Yes, that's right, that you have been hoping for. It has arrived. The Glad for 2017 from one and only guy, Mercury Jones.
I am Mercury Jones, and I did it. I said that I'd do it, and by God, I did it. We have a flying car at the Mercury Jones Glad dealership on Forestry Highway. That's the Mercury Jones Glad dealership on Forestry Highway. I said I'd do it. I did it. It's there. Now, will it fly? Okay, that's a very good question. We have put it through its paces, and I am sure that it will. Yes, the 2017 Glad. Get in it, and it will fly, or your money back. The first flying car hasn't flown yet. There, okay, I said it. I just smacked my account executive because I suddenly realized what a bullshit commercial this is.
You'll be sorry that you did that.
What are you, all of a sudden, a man from another planet? A small alien entity who promised me a flying car and has delivered nothing?
Mercury Jones, the flying car for 2017. The new Glad at the Mercury Jones Glad dealership on Forestry Highway. I'm Mercury Jones. I'm Fly.
Hi, I'm Bill Prusap. I'm a gorilla. And I am the entertainment director of Planet of the Apes. A lot of people have been asking me, what do you guys do for laughs on Planet of the Apes? I mean, I don't think you have TVs. You're not quite as advanced, and yet you're better than humans in terms of kicking ass, and a lot of people have that kind of stereotype of us. Well, I'd love to tell you all about it, and I will be giving a series of lectures in the Southern California area beginning in August. We'll be at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium, the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, and we'll head on down to the Long Beach Civic Auditorium, the Riverside Civic Auditorium. Wherever there's a Civic Auditorium, that's where we'll be. If it's just an auditorium, forget it.
Come see an explanation of the Planet of the Apes and what do they do for laughs.
We like tap dancing. That's right. Shuffleboard. We enjoy the hell out of that. We like skeet shooting. We've got ball games, but they're nothing that you would understand, nothing that you would approve of, certainly. Then we have marathon running, distance running. We have the javelin. We have horseback riding. There's a lot of great stuff.
Yes, what do they do for laughs on Planet of the Apes? Come see the lectures this August.
What the hell kind of a sponsor is that?
Well, some kind of an entertainment product. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is Margaret Gray, along with Bud Dickman, and of course, General Galen Shaw and Robert Leonard. Well, we're back full-time here in the studio, and let's hope that it stays that way. Although, as you know, Phil does, you're taking one day off this week.
We were working 7 days a week, and so we needed to get at least one day off. So we take generally one day early in the week, but we're not going to do that till, I don't think we're going to do that until Wednesday. We have a lot of stuff to do on Wednesday anyway.
All right, well, that's all well and good. Zach Batista is a sophomore at Belmar Academy, and he is one of the very, very interesting and, I think, promising prospects there on the football squad. And I asked Phil if I could introduce Coach Vernon Dozier, because, Coach Dozier, you and I don't talk sports all that much, and I really think that I'd like to get my feet wet a little bit here in discussing football, and especially football at the level of high school, because I have a young man, Jason J. Delmonico, and I don't know if I told you, but a couple of years ago...
You know, I can have just one thing, Margaret.
Yes.
I'm in the gym right now, and I'm going to be doing and using some of the weight machines. I got to get going, and so.
I want to just save the speech, Margaret.
I beg your pardon.
Margaret, just get to the point, please.
You're going to tell me about your son, Jason J. Delmonico.
Yes, Jason J. Delmonico will be playing football in a year or so. And I wanted to get some tips on that.
Well, I think that if it's a sport that he enjoys, I don't know. We're right up to our ears in all kinds of controversy at our school, and that has to do mostly with which kids get playing time. And
so, in other words, you're just blowing it off.
I'm not blowing it off, ma'am.
Margaret, could you ask him...
Excuse me, Phil. In other words, you're blowing it off.
Margaret?
I'm not blowing it off.
Where are you going?
I'm getting up and walking around, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's gotta walk it off.
I've heard this said before in your program. What are you walking it off?
I'm walking off the anger. It's almost like a searing rod of pain that is delivered you know where, and I've gotta get up and loosen up.
Well, I guess enough said about that.
Yeah, enough said about that, the better.
Oh, is that right?
Are we done?
Who is that?
It's me. It's Phil.
Oh, Phil.
Yeah, go ahead. So the question is, it's a good question. The question is, you didn't ask a question.
I was asking about Jason J. Delmonico.
Well, I think I answered the question about Jablin.
Jason J. Delmonico.
Jason Delmonico.
Jason J.
All right, Margaret, thank you.
I thought your last name is Gray. Why isn't your son's name Great.
That's his stage name, Jason J. Delmonico.
Yeah, she gave him a stage name. She named him after a cut of meat.
No, that's kind of funny.
You know, no, it isn't funny. I named him after a high-class restaurant, yes, that happens to serve the Delmonico steak.
All right, so you can talk with me later on about that, Margaret. I'd be happy to tell you what the boys' prospects are. But right now, at our school, we've already got our kids are going to be in camp this week. And he doesn't go to our school, right?
No, he does. Excuse me, Margaret. He does not, Coach. We're here to talk to you about the prospects for the coming season. I know you guys are going to be starting your summer football program at the end of this month, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Now, you said you got three quarterbacks. This is a lot better in terms of players than last year.
Well, yeah, we got three good quarterbacks. Now, let me tell you, I'm working out. I got to get over to Subway. You know, I've never made any bones about the fact that I work at Subway Sandwich Shop as one of my summer jobs, but I do know that Sam Batista, Zach's father, is probably going to come in, and I told him that I will not talk football with him. I told him that I will talk with him after I get off the shift, so if you're listening, Sam, and it's a good chance he is, I will talk to you after the shift, because we got ourselves into a little bit of a pickle. His son, Zach, is a great quarterback. His dad wants to talk. I can't talk football prospects.
Well, you're there in a sandwich shop, and you know, I think it's a disgrace that a football coach, a high school educator, has to take this job for the summer.
Well, it's, you know, I'm done talking about it. I mean, I'm done complaining about it. But I said to Sam first time he came in, you can't talk to me about this kid. You know, your son. He said, "What do you mean, this kid?" I said, "Your son." With all respect, we got three good football three good quarterback prospects. And one of them's a sophomore already. It's Davey Vanderkeith, and your son's a sophomore. And he said, "Well, what makes Vanderkeith so great?" I said, "Nothing, but he's better than your son." And that's when he started pacing back and forth, and people in the sandwich shop were getting nervous.
Oh, this was happening at Subway.
Oh, yeah. So then he turns and he comes over and he says, "How about another? Give me another chicken and bacon ranch melt." And I said, "Man, that's the third one. You would not believe."
What is the guy doing?
He came after he realized.
All right, let me ask the questions.
Well, he said the chicken and bacon.
Yeah, the chicken and bacon ranch melt is pretty decent.
Yeah, put one of the better sandwiches.
Yeah, and I happen to know what I'm doing when I make a chicken and bacon ranch melt. And a lot of the other kids that work at the sandwich shop, they don't know. So I said, "You really want a chicken and bacon ranch melt, or do you just want to stall to ask me more questions?" He said, I'm basically stalling. I said, I can't, okay? So I start making the chicken and bacon ranch melt, and he comes over and he's staring at me with those eyes as if to say, "Can we talk now?" But he's not saying anything.
Uh-huh. Well, where is he?
He's right across the counter from me. And meanwhile, I'm looking up at him. I'm cutting into the bread. I'm looking up at him again, and he's still got the wide, searching eyes.
Why don't you tell the guy to go sit down on a table or something?
I do, but he's intent on talking to me. I said, "I can't talk to you. So he hangs around the counter.
These guys, I'm telling you, every year you're telling me about these parents, and I don't know how you maintain your composure.
Yeah, probably want to kick their ass or something like that.
No, I can't kick anybody's ass, okay? I'd be fired out of that job so fast you wouldn't even believe it.
Well, a lot of the things you've done, Vernon, I'm surprised you're still the coach there.
Like what, for instance?
Well, my God, you have the whole thing with... Never mind.
Yeah, you can't think of anything.
When I do think of something, I'll let you know. But I know that you've been involved in all kinds of contretemps there.
We don't have to bring that stuff up right now. So,
listen to Phil. We don't have to bring this in.
Margaret, I promise you I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
So, you're there at the sandwich shop, and I guess the main point of this is to bother you at that job.
Yeah, you're bothering me at that. You remember last year I told you all about Wilson, and his dad would come in and go, yeah, put more mayo on it, that's it, more pepperoncinis. You know what, I think I'll have another foot-long tuna. And of course, that was the incident where I accidentally knocked the foot-long out of his hand, and he comes over to me and says, you owe me for one foot-long, and that got to be a big laugh. Well, this year, with Batista staring across the counter at me, with these wide searching eyes, like, can I talk about my son now? Can I talk about my son now? And I'm looking back at him, and I'm shaking my head with the wide eyes.
But you guys aren't saying anything.
No, but we're communicating with our eyes. And meanwhile, I'm trying to get this chicken and ranch bacon, this bacon and ranch, goddammit.
It's called the chicken and bacon ranch melt, right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I'm trying to get this bacon and chicken ranch melt.
Well, technically chicken and bacon.
Will you forget about it?
Who cares?
All right, the chicken and bacon ranch melt. And I'm getting ready, and I got to melt it, so that goes into an oven. Meanwhile, his eyes are peering at me, and so I'm trying to communicate, saying, after my shift. Now, what happened was Susan Hardaway, who's one of our night managers, and she's working the counter with me, sees the two of us staring at each other like that. And I am, I'm due for a break. So I'm walking past her. She said, I didn't know it was like that, if you guys need some time together. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, I saw you guys stare at each other like you wanted to be, she said, intimate. I said, with who?
Wait a minute. This is your manager?
Yeah, I said, with who? She says, with that guy over there. I said, that's one of the parents at the school. And she said, that's... So what happened? Well, I finally set her straight, but she was real slow in getting it, and I think she was slow in getting it on purpose.
Now, hold on. We're talking to Vernon Dozier, the head football coach at Belmar Academy. Every year, you got some bizarre thing happening over there at Subway Sandwiches. And I know it's a great restaurant, and people love to eat there.
It's a fantastic restaurant. But I've got these parents coming in whose sons are in my football program, giving me the big goo-goo eyes and going, yeah,
What is this about? You got somebody there that thinks you're making eyes at some other guy?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Because he's got these wide-searching eyes, like, can we talk about my son?
All right, so this cat won't take the clue or take the hint and split.
No, he won't. And I said, would you just get away? And finally, I said to him, would you get the fuck away from me? And I said it too loud, and that's when Hardaway came over and said, wow, now I heard what you guys are talking about. I said, no, I'm angry at him, and so she gave me the rest of the afternoon off. I'm going to get fired from that job because Sam Batista is so intent on getting his son, Zach, to become the starting quarterback for our football team.
Well, how do you appraise this kid? Is he any good?
Who, Zach Batista?
Yeah.
I got three great quarterbacks. The kid's got a good arm. I don't think he's that bright. He's not reading defenses as fast as the other kids do. He doesn't know he's not really checking his keys as well. He doesn't know how to audible at the line as well as the rest of the kids do. And the other thing about him is he's not very fast. I got three quarterbacks who are bona fide running threats. And this kid, Batista, is kind of a clumsy clown. The one thing I shouldn't say that, he's a young man.
Yes, I would think that these young people are more than just clowns.
You're absolutely right. But he's kind of a stumble, he's a stumble bum kid. He's got a great arm, he's got a rocket arm, and he's got a very accurate arm. But he can't move. It's like you're watching a guy out there with, it's like watching Jerry Lewis. Imagine Jerry Lewis had a great arm, but the minute he takes off running, his knees are together, he's flailing his hands.
You gotta be kidding.
I'm not kidding. I swear to God.
But how's Jerry Lewis run?
Jerry Lewis runs as if he has a muscular disease. He runs with the flailing arms, almost, and the knees are knock-kneed.
Well, so I said that I'll give his son a look. I said, but it's very, very unlikely he's going to make the team as a quarterback. Now, what I did say to him is, what about playing some defense? He said, like what? I said, well, I think, you know, he could play a linebacker. He said, my son's not that big. I said, look, I don't see any other position that he can play. He can't play a defensive back because he's not. He can't play a wide receiver because he runs like Jerry Lewis. But he's got one hell of an arm. And I think in a limited area in the defense.
Talking here with Coach Vernon Dozier. So Sam Batista caused you almost a personal problem.
Well, that was it, because he's staring at me going, can I talk to you now? But he's not saying anything. The eyes are just wide. And our eyes locked so that Susan Hardaway looked at it and said, oh, it's like that, huh? I said, it's like what? She said, you know, and she shrugged her shoulders. And I was a little offended by that.
Well, you're giving her the impression.
Yeah, thinking that, you know, that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. So she's trying to give you a break.
No, she's not trying to give me a break. What do you mean, try to give me a break?
You guys, you got a place to meet and everything.
No, that's, well, is that what she was doing?
If she was doing, I asked her, I said, what? She goes, look, you know, if you guys need some time, I'll give you a half an hour. And she said, I think you parked your car behind the building, so that looks like...
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
You know something, I would have something to say to her before I said anything to anybody else. That is crude and vulgar.
Well, that was her impression. And I said, even if that was your impression validly, what makes you think I need to get into a parked car with this guy?
We're talking here with Vernon Dozier.
Hey, Vernon, let me ask you. How many years have you been at Subway?
I've been working there now for 10 years.
10 summers you've been there, and every summer you got some parent telling you to lay it on with the mayonnaise. They're always in there harassing you. Why don't you quit and find a job where you're not dealing with the public?
I would love to. I would honestly love to. But I have been promised they're going to bump me upstairs to assistant manager. And they're also here's the big thing, they're going to cater the post-game meals for the football team at home if we win. If we lose, they're going to put all the sandwiches back in the truck. Oh, my God, he's laughing.
What are you laughing at, Phil? They're going to put all the sandwiches back in the truck and take them back.
What are you laughing at, Phil? That's kind of funny, I'm sure.
Well, I don't find it funny at all. I find it to be demoralizing.
Well, these guys, this is the sandwich shop that you work for.
Yes.
And they said that they would cater the post-game meals of all the games that you guys won.
That was it, yeah. That was the deal I struck with this Susan Hardaway. And she's looking at me like I owe her. You know, and I said, look, whatever you're thinking about me and that Batista guy, she said, I'm not thinking anything. She said, I'm completely open to all persuasions, and I noticed you parked your car well enough behind the sandwich shop where you two guys could go off together. And I said, God damn. And she just, you know, she wouldn't have it. So it's tough. I can't argue with her because she is offering to pay for the post-game meals with the sandwiches. But, yes, if we lose, then the sandwiches go back into the truck.
How does that work?
What do you mean?
Well, so they show up, they put all the sandwiches, they lay out this spread for you guys.
Right, well, they lay it out, and then they take a look at the scoreboard, and if the other team is leading, that's when they begin to start taking the sandwiches back to the truck. If we score a go-ahead touchdown, they start bringing them back in.
That is the most asinine thing.
General, hold on. Look, I appreciate the generosity.
So they're going back and forth with these sandwiches. Why won't she just go ahead and cater the meal if you've lost?
Because they're trying to get some promotion for Subway, and they sure as hell don't want to be associated with a bunch of, as I said to the kids, and as I say every time I give the public address to the school, they don't want to be associated with a bunch of losers. That's the way I say it. And everyone cheers and everything.
Yeah, they're hurt about that, and people get a big kick out of it.
That's kind of traditional, huh?
That's right. I say, I'm Coach Vernon Dozier, and one thing that we are not at Belmar Academy, losers. And I try to say it the way George C. Scott said it in the movie The Hustler. I don't know if you saw it, Phil.
That's fine. We're talking with Vernon Dozier here from Belmar Academy. Let me ask some, Coach. So the sandwiches will be catered, but they're going back to the truck if you guys lose. And this is what you're putting up with all this heat for.
Well, I mean, God almighty, Phil. I mean, it's a pretty decent gig when they offer to... You know, they know that I'm working hard, and they say, look, let's pick up the cost of the post-game meal.
Except if you lose, then they pick the sandwiches up and take them back.
Well, of course they do. I don't know. What do you expect them to do?
I would expect them to keep the sandwiches there.
Keep them there and have a bunch of losers? I got to tell you something. No way does Subway want their sandwiches being eaten with the cheese hanging out of the face and everybody going, ha, 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 laughing with cheese stuck between their teeth when they lose. All right, hi, we're Subway Sandwiches, and we're catering the post-game meal here of the Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse, who just lost. Now, what does that do for the Subway Sandwich people? Not a lot.
They don't even have to mention the score. They can say, hey, look at us as we're feeding our young athletes of America.
All right, I tell you what, Phil, you write the ad copy and you give it to them, all right? I got to keep on the good side of this Hardaway.
Sounds to me like you're on a good side. She was offering you and that other guy, Batista, time alone in the backseat of your car.
You know what? I'm God damn it! I wish I could hang up.
This is what I was talking about at the beginning of this program, Phil. We've got to get a lasso around the asinine instincts of this show.
Margaret, I agree with you. I come on your program a lot, Phil, and every time somebody mentions something that's a little tiny bit off color, you guys crack up like you're 4 years old. And I mean the combined ages of you, the General, Robert, and Bud equals four.
Well, that would mean we're all a year old each.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, it's no comment.
What do you want me to say?
How about I'm sorry and we'll try to do better?
I'm sorry and we'll try to do better, Coach. Now, let me ask you about Sam Batista and Zach. Is Sam still coming around?
Yeah, he's coming around. I said, Sam, last week when you were staring at me with the big eyes, my manager thought you and I had a thing going. He said, what? I said, she thought you were giving me eyes and, oh, hey, you know, we're open-minded here. There's no homophobia, so why don't you guys just take some time in the backseat of my car? And Batista, that's when he just went, huh? And his eyes stayed open, and he stood there staring at me. I said, you're making it worse now. And he said, there's nothing I can do but just stare. So I finally had to just knock off early for the day.
Let's talk about the football team, and then let's get out of this interview because it's, you know.
Because it's what?
Because it's a little on the weird side of life.
Hey, you guys want to talk to me about Subway every year.
Because every year there is something going on over there. But I will say this. The chicken and bacon ranch melt, is it good?
Margaret, what the hell?
It's very good. Yes, it is.
Thank you. I thought I'd get a plug-in for them, Phil. You know, they're on, and all we're doing is talking about the problems he's having. Let's talk about the good food that they make at Subway.
Oh, all the problems that I'm having. I'm sitting there morning, noon, and night.
Coach?
No. I'm sitting there morning, noon, and night. I'm making a guy a chicken and bacon ranch melt, which was the other thing. You know, he's looking at me with these big Google eyes, and I'm looking back at him. And someone said, you know, they're looking at each other, and hit that guy's making a chicken and bacon ranch melt. What's that about? And
but what is it about?
It doesn't mean anything, but to anyone with a filthy mind, it fits in perfectly. I don't know, Phil, but if somebody's got a filthy, dirty, rotten, pornographic-ridden mind, then chicken and bacon ranch melt
fits the bill.
Fits the bill, exactly.
Coach Vernon Dozier, ladies and gentlemen, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coach, you're one of the best, and we'll always appreciate you. You know, good luck at camp when it opens up next week.
Oh, and by the way, we are going to have our tractor dummies this year.
Well, that's the tractor dummy. This is punishment for anybody that's not doing a good job.
Right. We have, as you know, they dig their own grave. If they screw up again, they get a dirt blanket. And if they screw up again, they're tractor dummies. What that means is they have to stand still as they get buzzed by myself and all of the assistant coaches, and we all have our own private small tractors, and we're trying to get them to run, scream and run. And if the first guy to scream and run, he's a tractor dummy.
All right, Coach, good luck, huh?
Oh, yeah, right. You're trying to tell me that I'm...
Coach Vernon Dozier, and
what was he saying there?
I think he thinks that we're mocking him. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico in Southern California. He'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Norton, and I want to encourage you to get a subscription to the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm going to be on the show later on and tell you all about some of my thoughts and feelings on masturbation. And as you know, I'm into the sex topics. I am an adult film actor. I'm also an adult film director. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about is sex. But right now, I just want to encourage you to get a subscription to the world famous Phil Henry Show website. That's Phil Henry Show website. It's at philhenryshow.com. And you'll get 30,000 hours of Phil Henry classic shows.
You're going to have the Miami tapes, and you're also going to have, you know, just a lot of stuff, man. All kinds of miscellany and all kinds of character bits, and we've got our, you know, we've got our Friday night chat. We have our live streaming show Sunday night. We got a lot of special events and special features. What is going to be coming up? So check it out at PhilHenryShow.com. It's PhilHenryShow.com. Get a subscription, okay? And tell them Chris Norton sent you. They won't do anything. We'll get a discount, but just tell them that to see if they do. See what they do if you do that, okay? Okay, we do that. Okay, great. And remember, I'm going to be talking about masturbation later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like this.
Yeah, this is our little surf break here.
What is the whole thing with you and surf music, anyway?
I've always liked surf music. I always thought surf music was a marvelously original little subgenre of rock and roll, if you will. And I don't know why it went away, or it didn't actually go away. There's a lot of bands that still kind of dabble in it.
What makes a surf song?
Yes, what defines a surf song, Phil, when you talk about surf or the surf music?
Well, I think it's a certain kind of guitar sound that uses that sissy bar. Is that what it's called?
The what?
Maybe a sissy bar.
Whatever that thing is that makes the sound go, you know?
No, I don't. Good God.
You guys are looking at me the way Sam Batista looked at General,
It's Coach Dozier. You guys call him a general, and you call me a coach. Now, that really hurts. Not because I don't mind being a coach, but Jesus.
Yeah, you want to be a high school coach?
I'm going to be a high school coach.
So anyway, that's what I assumed. That's what I think of when I think of surf music. And it's also instrumental. It's not a lot of it is vocal, although modern surf music does seem to have a lot of vocals to it. All right, sports fans, so good luck there. Now, we do have, coming up right now, Chris Norton. Do we have Bobby Dooley?
Yes, Bobby is going to talk about, I don't know if you know this or not, but Bobby Dooley had some ridiculous thing happen this week, and it has happened on occasion. She suddenly starts slurring her words. She starts writing like a maniac.
Yeah, starts writing just jacked up and everything, and that's on account of the pills.
Well, she's apparently breaking into a pill stash that they have there at the house, and it is concerning Steve, and it's a very concerning thing, I would think. And so she did do a little bit of rehab time at the Gail Bung drug rehab, I think.
It's called Gail. It's the Gail. Hold on. It's in Rancho Poncho, but I don't know the name of this.
Let me get Bobby up here. Bobby, it's Phil Henry. Can you tell me a little bit about this place?
Oh, hi, Phil. Yeah, it's Rancho Poncho. Okay, you know where that is, right?
No, I do not.
Well, it's out in the desert. It's out there near Palm Springs. It's between Bugner. It's between Thermal, Bugner Flats, and the Spout. You know where that is?
The Spout. Where is that?
I'm asking Phil.
I do not know.
Oh, well, then I can't tell you. But it is.
What do you mean you can't tell me?
Rancho Poncho is between Palm Springs and Thermal. And that's where the Gail Bung clinic is. A lot of people, they used to call it the Gail Bung, the Gail Bung drug treatment clinic, the Gail Bung, but it is simply the Gail Bung clinic.
Now, I've known, I knew who Betty Ford was, obviously, and I knew Betty Ford toward the end of her life when I was a very young reporter, but I've never heard of Gail Bung.
She was a singer and a producer.
Wait a minute, did she produce Saddleback?
She did. She produced Saddleback and the WizKids on both ABC and the CBC.
What do you mean ABC and the CBC?
They both of the networks were vying for it. WizKids. So she did 1 year for ABC, 1 year for the CBC, and then she said she wanted to destroy all the prints, and both networks did give their go-ahead on that. So it was very unusual.
What do you mean destroy all the prints?
She was the producer of these shows.
Yes, she was executive producer on the WizKids. Saddleback was a different network entirely.
Where was Saddleback?
Saddleback was on the Igor network, and it was a syndicated show that was syndicated through Igor Enterprises.
It was on the Igor network.
Oh, for
Christ. Yeah, he's laughing again.
I can tell.
Phil, you know,
don't give me the shaking head, Margaret. The Igor network? What is that?
Oh, my God, Steve.
Mr. Henry, have you ever heard about Igor?
Hey, Steve, I want to talk to your wife, please.
Yeah, but my wife's upset.
I'd like my husband to talk to
you. My wife's upset on account of you laughed at her and everything. Now, what do you mean about Igor?
What do you mean? She's the one that said it was on Igor.
Honey, was it on Igor?
Yeah. Tonight on Igor. Does that ring a bell?
It does for me.
No, it does not.
Oh, my God.
No, it doesn't ring a bell for me. I could be wrong.
It was a big, big network that lasted all of 3 years, but they had some of the top shows. They had Saddleback. They had Moon Pie. Okay. Remember? With the little comedian? Oh, my God, Phil. Tell me you remember that.
Moon Pie?
Moon Pie?
I do remember. I remember Carolyn Moon Pie. Is that her name?
Yes. And she was on the Igor television. She was on the officially, they called themselves Igor for Two because they prided themselves on programs.
Oh, you know, I think I remember that now.
Yeah. They prided themselves on programs for two people, romantic comedies and romantic half-hour dramas.
I'm sorry. It just doesn't ring a bell.
Well, it doesn't ring a bell entirely. The Igor for Two sort of rings a bell. And I remember they'd say, you're on Igor. Is that right?
Yeah. They wouldn't say, you're watching Igor. You're on Igor. And then you'd hear a grunt. And then they'd be back to regular programming. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't think he believes you, Ms. Dooley.
Would you... Phil, you had better start believing.
You ought to better start believing, Mr. Henry.
Is that right? Well, no, I don't believe.
Why not? You're on Igor.
You're on Igor, Phil. That doesn't ring a bell.
If you ask me if it rings a bell one more time, Ms. Dooley, I'm afraid I'm going to have to conclude the conversation because we will have wasted too much time.
Oh, okay, Daddy.
Hey, Mr. Henry, all we're trying to find out about Igor.
All right.
What's so funny?
What's so funny? You're on Igor. The Igor television network. It lasted 3 years. It had some of the top shows of all time. Moon Pie and Saddleback. I never heard of them.
You know, I don't let people laugh at me, Mr. Henry. The last man that laughed at me, other than Steve, who should not have the skin on the left side of his face today, but I took pity on him. The last man that laughed at me, I had a reflexive motion with my jaw muscles, if you know what I'm talking about.
Come on, honey, don't...
Oh, for God, you know something, you really are a pig.
Well, you know what? Your boss bought himself that little bit of fun. Bought and paid for.
You really are a pig to say something like that.
Your boss bought the fun.
I bought the fun. I'll accept that. I'm sorry, Margaret. Ms. Dooley, if you say something like that again...
I know. You'll hang up the phone, which you won't.
You want to see me do it now?
No, please don't do it.
Mr. Renner, we're sorry.
Bobby and Steve Dooley. All right. Ms. Dooley, I want to find out about you going into rehab. Last week, you lost it on Twitter. It wasn't so much what you were tweeting. It was how you were tweeting. People were wondering... Was there something wrong with you? There was one tweet. Where's that empty beer bottle of a husband of mine?
Did you say that?
Well, don't start crying, Steve.
Well, I'm done.
What, Phil, did you have to... Don't cry. Butch up, for Christ's
sake. That's me.
Isn't that what you tweeted, though? I think I got that right.
Yes, I did, because I was in a very confused and disoriented state, and I needed Steve. I needed him, frankly, to come over and turn my phone off for me and then draw a bath. I needed a warm bath, and then I needed for him to warm up his Corvette to get me over to the Gale Bung Clinic. Because it's a drive, Phil. It's about a 2.5-hour drive.
So you knew that you were out of control of these pills.
Oh, yes. I looked back at my tweets, and I said, Steve, look at these tweeterers. And he said, yeah, you've had it. You're all in. So that's when I said, well, get the Corvette warmed up. I'll step into the warm tub. I said, where's the bubble bath? Jesus.
I'm sorry, I didn't know
where... And off we went.
Ms. Dooley, this is ODing on pills.
It wasn't ODing. I took too many.
Yeah, to get your fun.
I took too many. It was a very, very tense afternoon on Twitter, and I decided that I needed to loosen up, laugh a little bit, enjoy life for the first time in my life, and so I took a handful of pills.
Big deal.
I think it is.
What was that? You went...
I think it is. And the next time, you could OD.
Now, let me ask you, Dooley. Are you there, Dooley?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to your husband.
I'm right here.
How do you let your wife get into this? I understand she got into this pill stash.
She gets into the pill stash. I hit it this time, and I'm always hitting it. And she's always finding a way.
I know, Steve, like the back of my hand. There's nothing that pea brain... Excuse me for saying that, honey.
Certainly.
There's nothing that pea brain can keep from me. And so when things started getting really tense, I raced into the hallway, I opened up the bottom drawers that are usually reserved for the towels.
Yeah, that's what I made a dive for.
I got the pills, and I ran off. And I got out of the backyard. I got into the cabana. I locked the door and started taking handfuls of pills. In about a half an hour, Steve had my stomach pumped, and I was well on my way to the Gale Bunk Clinic.
Isn't that wonderful? You make the use of drugs, the destructive use of drugs, you make it sound like it's some sort of a vacation, Bobby, and you know that it's not.
No, I don't. It's very dangerous. And I told Steve that as we were driving to the Gale Bung, because I'm going to Gale Bung.
What are you laughing at?
If he's laughing at the word bung.
No.
As I was driving to the Gale Bung Clinic. Thank you very much.
Can't hang up.
Fuck it.
Now you can hang up.
Phil, I was...
Bobby and Steve Dooley on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You hung up on her?
Yes, I hung up on her. There's only so much of that garbage I can take.
My question is this. If you keep hanging up on her, why have her back?
Because she was out of control on pills on the Twitter, okay, this past week.
Yes, I understand, but my sense of those two people is they're patently... irresponsible, and would only serve to teach them a lesson to be reasonable, to kick their asses off of the show for good.
Well, I'll take that under advisement, General. It's probably a very, very good idea. They're longtime contributors, and I can tell you that Ms. Dooley's pill problem has been under control for quite some time.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show at the El Pacifico in Southern California. You're going to come back, and you're going to have Chris Norton and talk about masturbation.
Does he have to say it that way?
But what did I tell you, man?
I mean, he's got to talk about sex, free speech.
World famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'll be right back. The Peachtree Bunglers are back in town, and they'll be playing for three games against the Watsonville Arrows. That's the Peachtree Bunglers against the Watsonville Arrows, three games at the Bunghole. Get tickets now, available at Schmordley's and
Price Cut Pharmacies.
Yes, see them. See the Peachtree Bunglers against the Watsonville Arrows now.
Hi, this is Dean Wheeler. I'm here at the Northern California Holistic Center. Have you ever gotten done giving a lecture about holistics, about health, about making yourself, your mind, and your body better, and then taken a phone call and heard this? That's a monkey. That monkey called me just to scream and yell into the phone as if to say, anything you've got to say to me, Wheeler, doesn't amount well to a hill of monkey you-know-what. And they begin flinging it about their cage. That's why I have a subscription to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website. As a subscriber to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website, were I to receive another call, well, another call like this, I wouldn't care, because the laughter, the information, the joy that comes out of the Phil Hendry Show every day is amazing. It benefits me, it benefits my wife Emeralda, it benefits Wes Hurlford, who is managing Emeralda's career, and it benefits me, who's managing Wes Hurlford's career, and it benefits Wes Hurlford, who's managing Emeralda's career, and it benefits Emeralda's career, who is, at present, she's not managing anyone. It's all over me!
Rage virus. This is Dr. Ron Tarter reminding you, get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 1 month or a year. Doesn't matter. Never mind to us.
The Phil Hendry Show. Get on it, get off it, detox, and get on it again.
Jeez, that's so fantastic. That's guitar playing, huh?
It is guitar playing. All right, Phil Hendry Show here. Chris Norton is the young filmmaker. We first met Chris. He was, as you probably know, he was a telemarketer in Huntington Beach, California. Chris was involved in telemarketing pharmaceuticals. His dream was, of course, to become a adult film producer, director, and an adult film actor. And he has been able to fulfill all of those dreams with a new movie called Climb Rex Rod, which is Chris's stage name, Rex Rod. He has entered into, finally, the first full-length adult film production of his life. Chris is from the Hermosa Beach area, and he joins us on our Newsmaker line. He's going to be talking with us today about a series of films, free speech films, Chris, right? These are free speech films that you have produced in the hopes that you're going to get people talking about sex in a freer way.
That's right, Mr. Ernie. I think it's very important, you know,
I think people feel that there is sexual freedom and freedom to talk about it. And I know that you, for instance, have on Anna Selson, who is a sex expert, but is he really an expert, or is he just somebody who is capitalizing and exploiting the sex? And that's what I'm going to try and do this different.
Now, you're saying that August Selson exploits sex. How do you not exploit sex, Mr. Norton?
Well, General, I think the reason why I say I don't exploit sex is because I want to talk about sex in ways that are that will help us grow, you know, to grow up, like to be grown up.
To be grown up?
You know.
You mean growing up, to be adults?
That's it, yeah. And one of the topics that I think is the most common topic in all of sex, in the world of sex, is masturbation. It's something everybody does.
I'm sorry, but...
I'm like, back it off, will you?
Grow up, will you?
I can't talk about masturbation.
Yeah, you know something, Dickman? You're such a baby. You're just a little tiny itsy-bitsy baby. And this is a conversation for adults. Everybody masturbates. And I think that for us to become adult about it, we have to have freewheeling discussions about a masturbation.
When you say freewheeling discussions, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Like, talk about it with strangers?
Well, not talk about it with strangers, but I mean, let's say you're in a bar and you are just, you know, shooting pool with some dude. And you're shooting pool with this dude. And you have a few beers and you go, hey, I'd like to discuss with you something I heard on a Chris Norton show. And that's what we call these tapes, by the way, Mr. Henry. Chris Norton's Frank Talk. And we do a little bit of a joke. I go, Chris Norton's Frank Talk, and I got my Frank, you know, nine pounds of swinging meat. I ripped off...
never mind who you ripped off. You ripped off that guy that bacon.
Yes, sir, I did. But, I mean, that's just the way to get him into it. And so I say, it's Chris Norton's show, and we're going to talk very frankly. That's just another joke there about, you know, Bob Bacon. And
yeah, let's just leave those behind, those jokes.
Okay. And we're going to talk about masturbation. So what I say is, if you're with a buddy and you and your buddies are shooting pool, and, you know, you're having a relaxing afternoon, and you go, hey, you guys, I listen to these Chris Norton lectures, and I, you know, I'm a member of the Chris Norton Sess Tape Club, where I get these Sess Tapes, and they educate you on Sess. And let's, you know, while we're shooting pool, let's have a kind of a roundtable discussion on masturbation, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. You're gonna do that, huh? You're going to do that, and you're going to figure you're not going to wind up like Paul Newman in The Hustler?
Oh, my God.
General, that was absolutely unnecessary.
That's what they're going to do to this guy, okay?
They need Paul Newman in The Hustler.
Never mind. Never mind about that.
I don't know what you mean by Paul Newman in A Hustler. I'm talking about...
Let me tell you what happened to him. Forget it.
I'm just saying that I'm going to talk to these guys. What are you talking about, man? Like I'm going to get beat up?
Yeah, a little bit.
No. Not if you say, hey, you know, we're having a good game of pool. We're shooting pool. And, you know, having a beer. And all you guys, you know, are straight, right? You know, because you're going to get that established. They'll say, yeah, great. Let's talk about masturbation in the context of being straight, so that we're not, like, going to go circle jerk, or excuse me for saying that, Mr. Henry.
You know, if you're going to do a tape on these various sexual acts, or whatever you want to call them, you're going to have to start using a little bit more mature language. Circle jerk ain't getting it done.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Henry. I apologize. But you'd say to these guys, hey, we're all dudes, and let's talk freely, and you know, let's be free. And talk about masturbation, and you'll say, and I'm not gay, and I'm not talking about you know, giving the knob. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, use some adult terms.
Chris, you know, if you're going to communicate in an adult way, you have to use. You're talking about what, mutual masturbation, something like that.
Well, yeah, that's why I want to say that. I said just because we're going to talk about masturbation doesn't mean you guys are all going to be, you know, daisy chaining. Or is that too,
That's not an adult term. That's a kid term, too.
Well, God, man.
Well, read up on it, man, before you give a lecture. Hey, guys, you know, let's talk about masturbation. Oh, I don't mean daisy chaining. What is that?
Well, that's totally acceptable.
okay?
What do you mean acceptable?
It's totally acceptable. Acceptable.
Acceptable. Oh.
Yeah, and what I mean is, if you are with some dudes, and you're totally straight, and you're totally heterosexual, and you want to have a masturbation session, you can daisy chain it. You're not, that's not gay.
Yeah, okay, Chris, tell you what you do, man. You go out, and have you done this yet?
Have I done what?
Have you gone into a pool hall, shot a... I love it. Man, you got to get your ass kicked.
Hey, man, I'm planning on going in tonight. I'm going to go down to Ernie's pool down here in Temple City because I'm visiting my cousin, Jeff. I will shoot a game of pool, get a game of stick going, and I'll say to these dudes, hey, you know, my name's Chris Norton. This is my cousin, Jeff. I come from Hermosa Beach. And do you dudes masturbate? And if you do, do you daisy chain?
I wouldn't do it, man. I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do what, Mr. Henry? Understand, you're talking to someone, Chris Norton. I understand sex.
No, you don't. You may understand sex. You say that in a pool hall, someone's going to bury a pool cue right down your throat.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, we're serious. Hey, guys, let's talk about masturbation and pulling a daisy. I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Norton, you went like this. See, the problem with your show, man, is you sound like you have emphysema. You know emphysema?
What's that?
You never heard of emphysema.
What do you mean emphysema? You mean emphysema?
I never heard of that.
Chris Norton has been our guest, folks. Don't forget to pick up on his sex tapes. This is the Chris Norton talks freely and uncensored about sex. And this is a series of tapes?
Yeah, we put out some tapes.
What about downloads, man? Nobody's doing tapes anymore.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Henry. I'm so sorry that I'm not up on the latest technology. I'm trying to do the easiest thing that I can do.
Yeah, but doing a download's a lot easier. People can get to it on iTunes. Yeah, even I know that, son. You don't have to make a bunch of tapes.
Chris, why don't you just take all of the ones that you've done and upload them to iTunes?
I don't know how to do that. Lance Germain does, but he's in a fashion show or something. I don't know what he's doing. So,
what do you mean he's in a fashion show?
Lance Germain's my manager, okay? But he's in a fashion show. He says he's doing a favor for a friend. And he had to put on some kind of stupid lady. He had to put on a lady dress. I don't know what that is. That sounds like a joke or something like that, Mr. Henning?
Yeah, sure. It's a joke. All right.
Well, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, Chris, good luck to you and to yours with, as I'm sure we would all agree, a very promising, at least it's got a lot of potential start, your series of sex lectures. And you're going to be uploading those to iTunes. Is that my understanding?
Are we still on the air?
Yes. Are you going to be uploading those to iTunes?
Yeah, Mr. Henry. That's what you sound like, Mr. Henry.
Thanks a lot, Chris. World famous Phil Henry Show. Jesus. Oh, you guys find that funny, huh?
It's moderately amusing.
You know what you sound like, Mr. Henry? You sound like the White Fang from the Soupy Sales Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. Fuck it, man.
And then there was Black Tooth. She goes.
I don't know what you're talking about, but it's pretty funny.